Skyline's new chicken chili is here. Now you can enjoy that legendary Skyline taste with a new protein option. Try Skyline's chicken chili on Waze, Coney's, and all your Skyline favorites. Feeling good. It's Skyline time.
What's up? Welcome. Happy Sunday. It's 90 Fiancé Sunday. We're going to be talking about the OG season 90 Fiancé. We're on episode 9, season 11. We're about halfway through because they actually showed this season coming up preview where they kind of give you a little overview of what we haven't seen. We saw some wedding dresses. Hey, Gina. Hey, Joseph. We saw Joan had a conversation with Lucille asking her to leave her house more. So that happened. That's kind of awkward. Tonight's episode was kind of boring. It wasn't a Tom Cruise episode, but we're going to break it down at least. Well, Gina, right? Gina says it was watching paint dry. It was. Tonight was very, very boring. It wasn't a Tom Cruise episode. We had the thruple was on, and it's getting more and more nonsense as it goes on. Hey, Jal. Hey, Staff Bunny. Hi, Gigi. Kara texted me like 5 seconds ago, and she texted back. There she is. I was like, I don't know where Kara is. I literally just texted her. Some stuff happened that was interesting that we'll get into. We're not going to get into the boring stuff because, you know, hey, Shelly, we don't have time for that stuff. But there was a few things that happened on this episode that I thought were funny. Hello. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm getting a cold.
Oh.
Which is weird because it's hot here. It's not hot. It's not like typically hot. Like it's 60-something degrees. So like for me, this is extremely cold weather. So
it's pretty nice here today. It was like 64 or something like that, which is weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Yesterday it was like 72 or 3. It was very odd. And I spent the whole day out. And I was out at riding roller coasters at 9 o'clock at night, and I got sick. So no, Gina, it's not COVID. It's just I'm the most susceptible person to colds. It's like if I'm out in a temperature that's below 60 degrees for 4 seconds, I get a cold. That's just
true.
Literally. I can't avoid it. I'm just sick immediately. Like you know how people are extremely contagious. I can catch anything, right? Like, it's like people just throw diseases and I catch them like a baseball player.
I
just catch them.
I need you to stay far away from Lauren.
Yeah. I'm not going to try to catch, I don't want to catch any STDs. I don't want to catch any. But so tonight we saw Sarper do his stand up. And it's just funny because I wanted to ask you this question directly because you have told me that you find Sarper to be very funny.
No, I did not say I find him to be very funny. I said, he's growing on me a little bit. He's made me laugh twice.
Oh, so he's made you laugh twice. So you did not say that you find him funny.
No. I thought it was funny when he said, when he called Dan the French baguette, and then he said something else that was a little funny, but I don't by any means. I think his strip dance is more of a comedy act.
Oh, really? I mean, I feel that way too, right? When he keeps saying that he used to be a stripper, and I've asked the internet, I was like, can somebody please scour the internet and show me videos of women that were excited to see him do that convulsion, whatever he was doing.
I was laughing.
It was
through the whole thing.
It was a little disturbing. Yeah. And then Jovi and Yara made a really good parody of it to show how disturbing it really was, right? Because I think what really scared me was how much eye contact he made while he was doing this weird.
Yeah.
It made me feel uncomfortable and I wasn't there.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine how women would feel if there's someone dancing, is what he calls it, and then they're like staring at you. And like, it was very disturbing. I was very scared. I was like, man, can you imagine if you're in a strip club and there's a guy dancing in front of you, he's looking at you like
that would be horrible.
Very scary.
That would be horrible.
Well, he took on, what do you want, stand up tonight? And
yeah,
I don't know, he thinks that the jokes didn't land, but I just think
did.
The jokes well, they never took off. The plane can't land if it never takes off. So, I think that she kind of said something very interesting tonight. She was like, Sarper might be funny in the wild, but he's not funny scripted.
And I think she's right. Like, some people, they can have, like, you could have a sitcom, a talk show, or any type of show, and your writers will write things that you repeat that are hilarious. You're not funny, though. The people who are in charge of that are funny. I think Sarper is funny accidentally. Because, well, like you
it's
said...
It's like us. We're completely unscripted, and we're hilarious.
I like to think that I'm funny, but
If I wasn't us, I'd want to be us.
Well, if you put a microphone in front of me and put me out in front of a crowd and tell me to make people laugh, I probably wouldn't be able to do it. Because, like, I think I'm funny accidentally.
Yeah.
And I think in order to be a comedian, you have to just be funny. Because even people that don't like you, don't know your personality, and don't understand your life, they still have to laugh at what you say. So, because a lot of my friends are like, oh, no, you're funny. I'm like, that's because we're friends and you understand my personality.
Right.
For people who don't know me, they would probably think that I'm not funny and nothing lands. But him trying to be a comedian was funny. I was like, so there's two things that we can check off the boxes that Sarper's not good at. Stripping and being a stand-up comedian. So there's two things that we can... Well, yes.
And being honest.
And not being honest.
Arrogant.
Not being creepy.
Don't be a
not being a claymation.
Don't be a liar.
Not throwing up on boats. He's not good at that. I didn't hold that against him though, because I'm not good with water either.
I immediately thought of you as soon as the scene started, and I was like, that's George. George is hyperventilating right now.
Well, I was watching it and I was like, man, I'm not a fan, but I would have reacted the exact same way that he did. Hey, Pineapple. I would react the same way. Okay, so Sophie says that she is open to Sarper marrying her mom as long as he can. Okay, I wrote it down. He has to prove himself to her and her family. So I have a question for you. If Shekinah decided to marry Sarper, is it Sarper's job to make her family like him, or is it her job to get her family on board with her decision? Because I feel like it's not really his responsibility to make them like him.
Yes,
she
it is.
Chose him. It is?
Yes. Because he did X amount of things that she told her family about, right? And so she put the bad taste in the family's mouth. Okay. But then sister meets him in person and he calls her a bitch and a whore. So
yes,
it is on him. Because now words straight out of his mouth went to the sister. The sister went to the family. So, because it came straight out of his mouth, it is his responsibility to make that family like him.
So, I guess, I mean, that's true. He did directly insult the sister. Yeah. And not just that, but he was actually really nasty to Shekinah in front of the sister, too.
Yep.
Which is where that hatred comes from. Because you know, to this day, that sister doesn't talk to her.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. They don't communicate. She hates Sarper to that extent, which I did too. I mean, I don't want to say I don't not hate him, but he's less annoying now. Now that we've met other cast members and I've realized that it could be worse, like he doesn't irk me as much, but he does irk me. I do think that he's an idiot. And I think that, but since he's gotten to the U.S., he's a little less of a douchebag than
I agree.
He was in Turkey. I think the home court advantage made him a little more intolerable.
Yeah.
But like now that he's in the U.S., I do see him as a little more vulnerable, but he still sucks.
So can we talk about when Shekinah saw Sophie and she was like, oh my gosh, hey, that was...
Yeah, okay.
I give my daughter better hugs when I see her for the second time today.
Well, that was my first thing. I was like, that doesn't seem like the way a mother and daughter would reach out. No, wait, let me rephrase that. So say, for instance, you have a daughter and you're grown and your daughter's grown and your friendship has transitioned and your mother-daughter relationship has transitioned into a friendship. That's how I saw that. Because to me, a mother greeting her child, that was weird, the way that she interacted with her. And I was like, this is why, like, they don't get along, and this is why they don't have a relationship, because I think Shekinah looks at her as her friend, but she's not old enough to be your friend.
Yeah.
Your daughter can be your friend, your son can be your friend when they become adults, But when your children are children, you need to be a parent. And I was like, the way that she talks to her and interacts with her is like she's talking to one of her friends.
Yeah.
And that bothers me because children don't need any friends. They need parents.
Absolutely.
One thing that's, friends are awful. Children are awful. Children are awful to other children. So the one thing they don't need is their parent acting like their friend. Their parent needs to parent them. That's what they really do need.
Yep. Well, my daughter's an adult and she's married and she lives with her husband in their house, but we're very, very close. She's definitely my best friend, but I parented her and I cannot imagine, even though I was parenting her, we had that best friend relationship growing up all through her teen years. Was there things I wouldn't discuss with her? 1,000%. And things I didn't want her to discuss with me? 1,000%. But even though we lived in the same house, we still hugged 2 or 3 times a day. I hug her every time I left for the store. She hugged me every time she walked to the mailbox. Like, we just, that's just parenting. I love my
kids.
Can't imagine not hugging them.
Well, Sad Bunny says since she hasn't raised her, she doesn't know how to be a parent. And I did feel that weird awkwardness. Like, she didn't know, like, do I hug her? Like, how, like, she didn't know how to react to her. And it's like, well, I guess when you're not around, you know, if you have an estranged parent, right? I had an estranged dad. So when I did interact with him, we didn't know how to act with each other because we were strangers. Right. And that was kind of the vibe that I got.
Yeah.
She kind of didn't know how to deal with Sophie. Sophie didn't really know how to deal with her mom because they're on this, like, friend level. There's no real deep connection. It's just, this is my friend. I'm going to tell her what I did yesterday.
Right.
And that's weird for a parent because your parent should be someone that you have deeper conversations with.
Yeah. And you can tell that there was a level of uncomfort just meeting Sarper. So then you throw the mix of the emotions, meeting mom who you haven't seen in, you know, however long, and then meeting who you've perceived as the asshole boyfriend, you know, all along.
Also, I want to bring up, Shekinah said last week that Sophie never agreed to meeting with Sarper, but she brought him anyway.
Yeah.
I didn't like that. I don't like forcing things on people. So if somebody tells you they're not ready, maybe to apologize, maybe to meet someone or to go somewhere, go on their first flight, you always need to respect people's, what they asked for.
Yeah.
So when she said, oh yeah, I never got her to agree to meeting with him, but we're just going to show up. And I was like, see, I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like sneak attacking people. Yep. And I don't think that you can force things onto people.
You spray,
right? Like if someone
shit on me, I'm going to be just as surprised by what comes out of my mouth as you are.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Cause I was like, if you bring somebody, I tweeted this the other day. I was like, if you bring somebody I don't like to an event that I'm going to be at, I can't guarantee you that we're not going to fight.
Right.
I can't guarantee you that because I told you I don't like that person and you knew that I was going to be there. And then you brought that person to where I was going to be. I can't guarantee you how I'm going to react.
Exactly.
You should know not to bring people around me that I don't like and don't try to force us to have a little, what do you call it? A kumbaya. No,
right.
No, a kumbaya will turn into assault. Okay? Yeah. So don't try that with me. If I say we don't get along, I absolutely mean it.
Yeah.
I absolutely mean it. So showing up to my house with somebody that you know I don't like is not going to go well. So when she did that, I was like, that's another reason I don't see Shekinah as having that motherly bond. Because if you're a mom, you wouldn't do that to your daughter. You wouldn't show up and be like, well, here, I'm forcing this on you, son. So you have to deal with it now. That's not the way a mom would do something to their daughter.
Absolutely.
All right, so let's talk about Mina and Jade and Diana and Mark and all this craziness. So we found out today from Diana, who is a messy little something. Diana is the one that introduced Mark to Jade. Now, Jade is,
so
I guess...
So let's be very clear. Mark has no women in his life that actually have his back.
None. Not even his daughter. None. Nobody. Because that was the first thing I thought of. I was like, I have a best friend that's a woman, and she would not have launched me underneath a bus like that. So yeah. I was like, I really need to understand. So I was like, maybe it's because Diana was... Diana has loyalty to Jade because that was her friend. She hooked him up with her. He did her wrong. So she's always going to hold that loyalty. And if that's true, why are they still friends? Mark should not be talking to Diana if he knows that Diana doesn't have any love, respect, or loyalty for him after that. So we found out tonight that Jade lived with him in Florida, right? Because we knew that he used to live in Florida, and then he moved to, where did he move to? New Hampshire. But so they were living together. And he told us on the show that the relationship fell apart when he brought up a prenup. Diana told us tonight the relationship fell apart when she found his, you know, when you have an Apple phone, you can have your text messages come up everywhere. He was texting other women while he was with Jade, and then Jade found out, and Jade was like, peace, I'm out, and left. Yeah. So everything that he's told Mina is a lie.
Yeah.
Everything he's told us is a lie. Everything that he said was a lie. He said they never lived together. He said that she left him because she didn't want to sign a prenup. So now, and also, he basically said that when he found Mina, he was like, she reminds me a lot of Jade, so she's the next best thing. No woman wants to hear, well, I can't have the woman that I want, but this is the next best thing.
But
that's literally fighting words, right?
But he also said that he left Jade because she didn't want to sign a prenup, right?
Yes.
But then tonight he said that he never proposed to her.
Right. Never proposed, never lived together. So
you
still now I'm getting confused.
You still talked marriage. Otherwise, the prenup would have never came up.
Well, a prenup is something that you talk about when you're setting a wedding date. Like, I feel like that's because even if you're just dating, if you haven't proposed, I don't even feel like the prenup conversation is relevant until, you know, you've asked her to marry you. She said yes. You're talking about what venue you want to get married in, what you want to do. Then you would say, oh, by the way, paperwork wise, and you would bring up a prenup. So why this whole thing is getting more and more fishy. As I was always looking with my third eye at Mina as the scammer and Mina as the liar. Mina might not actually be the scammer and the liar here. It might actually be that Mark is a player. And
I mean, Mark's a player, but Mina's still trash.
Well, I don't disagree, right? I don't disagree.
So,
I think.
Did you notice she brushed her Temu wig to go meet with Jade? Tonight, meeting with Jade, she looked the nicest she's looked on the whole season. Well, when you're going to meet the ex, you gotta look good.
Because she knows she's going to meet the person that Mark wished she was with. So you want to show up looking your best. So yeah, she did her makeup a little better and she pressed the wig a little bit. She took care of herself, but let's be real. Jade's hot. Okay. She's very, very hot. She doesn't look like, I think what people call Mina is a Temu stripper. Yeah. Jade's hot.
Yeah.
And I can understand why Mark was trying to make things happen with her. And Mark has a ebony thing. Like he's into these beautiful black women, which I don't not understand it. I totally understand it, but I think it's interesting that he is buying women BMWs. That's weird. And then, so we heard that he bought Jordan a BMW. So now we're fully understanding Jordan's bratty little attitude. He bought a grown-ass woman a BMW who's his daughter. Yeah. That's why she's acting this way. That's the problem.
BMW, but then he buys girlfriend a BMW. Like, so Jordan's already on defense. Right? So he
Because it seems like the women in his life get equal treatment as her. Jordan feels like she should be up on a pedestal because this is his only daughter. And she's not wrong. She should have a special place in her dad's heart. That's your only daughter. But she's now in competition with these women. Because the last time she got a car and so did the girl. So did the girl that he only... Oh, did you also catch that they had only been dating for a month when he moved her and her son in the house?
Yeah.
What the hell? No.
And then bought her a car. On top of it.
Bought her a BMW. Well, he tried to make it seem less. He's like, I helped her get one. And I was like, don't lie. You bought her a BMW. You don't help women get cars. You buy them cars. Either you bought it, you co-signed it, you made it, whatever. You bought it.
Yep.
Get out of here. Because he was, when Mina was like talking about it, he was like, oh yeah, I helped her. And I was like, don't lie. You bought her a BMW because you were trying to get her to marry
her to the car lot to pick it up.
Right, exactly. He is like, I helped her by signing on the dotted line and making all payments. That's how you help. Like, don't lie. And it's like, it does seem like he's always looking to buy love. And I think that's an issue for him. I don't know why he thinks that he doesn't deserve to be loved.
He has a son, too. Like, I guess we'll probably just never see the son because the son's like, I'm not in it for this drama. But
the son might have said, I don't want to be a part of this shit show that y'all got going on. Yeah. And he's probably embarrassed, too. Like, why is your dad on TV chasing after a Chimu stripper, right? And he's probably like, there's always that one family member that doesn't want a part of the debauchery. You notice that?
Yeah.
There's one person in everybody's family that they just won't participate. There's no amount of money in the world for them to go on TV and embarrass themselves for you. They just won't do it.
Funny how we were coming so hard at Jordan, which I'm still on the fence about that one. I'm still on the fence. I think she's too much, but at the same time, I get it. So I'm still on the fence with
that.
Well, what I don't get is Diana. Diana's so far out of her lane that I mean, to give her Jade's phone number, that's a lot.
I mean, with friends like Diana, you don't even need enemies. You just she's your op. She's definitely your op. The only op you would ever need. She literally tried to destroy their relationship in less than an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Like, this was planned. She was ready to destroy this relationship. And it's like, I get it. She was friends with Jade first, so she has loyalty to Jade. But why are you still being friends with... Usually when a woman breaks up with a man, all of her friends hate him too.
Yep.
Right? He's now blackballed from the circle.
Yes.
All of the women, they band together, and he is now a douchebag. And even if they see him in public, they won't talk to him. They might call him names. They might, you know, they'll try to sabotage him, but she's pretending to be his friend while sabotaging him. And I think that's even worse.
Yeah.
Like, that's a two-faced friend. That's like your worst nightmare is the person that acts like they're your friend.
You know, he's going to dump a shitload of money in your shop. So you might as well be nice to his face, score as much money as you can, then throw him under the bus, right?
Well, she did make sure that she bought a bunch of stuff on her way out. So yeah, she probably looked at it that way. She's like, well, she probably looks at it as whatever young, naive girl he's dating, I can sell her a bunch of stuff out of my shop. And maybe she looks at it as it's more like a monetary friendship. She's like, well, whoever he has, I can get her to buy a bunch of crap with his credit card. So she looks at it that way. I don't get it at all. But Greg and Joan were back, and Joan is gaining weight because obviously Greg, all he does all day is cook bread.
Yeah.
And the enemy of skinniness is bread. So she's more worried about fitting into her wedding dress. And I think she should be more worried about how the hell they're going to afford a wedding. But that is my business. Right? Or, so I was like,
for the 15 cows.
Right. Like, you're way far ahead of, you should be worried about how he's going to afford to buy it.
Tonight, he posted a video on his story of his loaf of sourdough bread, his fresh loaf of sourdough bread that he just made. And he's spinning it like this. And he's wearing a wedding ring.
Oh. So they got married.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like she's in it. What did Darcy always say? She has her eye on the prize.
Yeah.
I think that Joan is here to better her life. She's educated. She's smart. She's beautiful. All she needs is an even playing field where she can better herself and be successful. And I think that Greg is... as intolerant as he may seem, is not a deal breaker for her to improve her life. I think that she's in it for the long haul, and she's not going to give up that easily, right? I don't think she's going to just be like, nah, I'm a head on back. I think that she got this far, and she's like, if I can just make it a few more months with this guy, I can get everything that I've ever wanted, right? And I feel like she's looking at it that way.
But also, okay, hang on. So he said that he's got this interview for a facilities assistant, and it's an important role. So I looked up what a facilities assistant is in New York City for the state of New York.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a maintenance guy.
Wait, that's all it is? So he would be like in charge of maintaining city buildings.
It says, hold on, I have screenshots. It says, in New York, a facility assistant role primarily involves maintaining a safe and enjoyable facility environment. Often as the first point of contact for visitors or managing access to control. They also assist with routine maintenance, repairs, and cleaning tasks within the building or facility. The tasks include cleaning floors, dusting, and removing hazards.
Oh, so like a janitor.
Yeah.
He made it seem a little more intricate than that. Did you happen to see what the salary was?
I didn't look that up, but I will.
Yeah, we'll have to look into that too, because yeah, he made it seem like, oh, this is a city job, and it's very, he said it's very serious, very is how he described it. Yes. Actually, it, and I'm not serious. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that a janitor's job is not very serious.
It is not, but when you start talking about working for the state of, it doesn't matter what state it is, when it's the state of and it's a serious job. Serious jobs are cops and judges and POs and, you know, serious jobs.
Right.
Work is not serious.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. He did make it seem like he would be in charge of some department doing something super important. Yeah. You know, and I don't like to belittle nobody's job. If you work and you make your paycheck, I respect that.
Belittle it because he doesn't even have it.
Like, well, yeah, he does.
If that was his actual job, I'd be like, good on you for getting your ass out there and doing something. But you don't even have the freaking job.
This is true.
So yeah, I'm belittling it. I'm belittling your super serious, non-existent job. I am.
Also, Gina says that Shibuti posted that Joan has a GoFundMe for the school where she's from in Uganda, and she listed her last name. So, yeah, they are. I'm sorry, she listed her last name as his last name. I said that. So, yeah.
I saw the they are married.
So, what's the, Gina, I have questions about this GoFundMe. So, is it like a, is the school that she's raising money from, is this the school that she went to? Or is this a school that she worked at as a, because, you know, she has a nonprofit employee. Like, she works for nonprofits. So is this a school that she attended, or was this a school that she was doing nonprofit work for? Because I was curious to know what she was raising money for. Because I was like, honestly, she should have a GoFundMe for herself.
Yeah.
Because who's taking care of Joan, right? Because I was like, I love that Joan is looking out for the kids in Uganda, but who's taking care of Joan? Because last time I checked, ain't nobody working over there.
Yeah,
well, literally. The only person working is Lucille. That's the only person working. Oh, thank you for the badge, Prinny. Oh, it's the school. Or charity. Okay, so yeah, I respect the fact that she's looking out for the people back where she's from, but I think that's part
of the requirements to go on the show now, is you have to agree at some point to have a GoFundMe to raise money for something.
Well, yeah, I think it's expected that once you do the show, you are now going to be have access to the funds of all the fans.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's worked for people. Yeah. Michael did it, and it worked. What's his name? Niles did it, and it worked.
I'm not going to lie. I've donated to a couple people.
Well, depending on what the situation is, I've been compelled. Like Mary and Brandon, for instance, they always have one going on.
Nope.
There's always something going on in their life that they need your money.
Nope.
And it's like, I don't believe that people have it so bad that every month I need to fund them for something.
Yep.
I do believe that people fall on hard times and need help. It happens very, very frequently. Not every month. Like with Brandon and Mary, they're always looking for something. Something is wrong.
It's always a lie. It's always a lie, whatever they need money for. And then they come out like 2 weeks later, sorry, we lied, but thanks for the money.
Well, yeah, they don't send the money back. They just take down the GoFundMe. George was my best guest in TikTok today. Oh yeah, Mark, you were on TikTok Live today. You got banned, by the way. You got banned on TikTok. I was there too. I was there for the live. Also, Prinny said she donated to the Matilda GoFundMe. Yeah, that
one. My daughter went live on TikTok, and I got banned for talking about making fresh banana bread. I had to dispute it. That's what they banned me for.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they tried to ban me for 7 days. And then I disputed it, and they let it go because they had to play it back and see what I said. And my daughter said that when you go out to the kitchen, you should bring me a piece of that. And I said, the fresh banana bread? And she says, yes, I can smell it all the way in my room. And I was off.
So it's probably like, what do you call it? An AI.
Yeah.
Where there's no actual person monitoring it. It's like a computer. Oh, wait. The Nakajoe Hope for Girls Foundation. It's a beacon of hope for vulnerable women and children in Uganda, Africa. That's a very beautiful charity, actually.
Yeah, but I feel like she needs to be charitying herself. Is that a word? Charitizing? How do you say that?
I think charitize might be a word.
I don't know.
But yeah, she should be more worried about taking care of herself. And also, I think we're halfway through the season because they gave us this season on at the end, the trailer. So, you know, they kind of give you, I think we're on episode 9, so I'm assuming we're going to 18 or somewhere around there. So they gave us a this time on, and Joan had a conversation with Lucille telling her that she needs to leave her house more. And
yeah, that just burned her.
I don't know how I feel about that, because the only person who works should have full reign and use of the house that they have, because it's theirs. Right? And it's like, if you don't like being around her, you can leave. Right? Yeah. Like, and I know it's hard because she doesn't know anybody here, and I get the idea leaving your country, coming to another country.
You bring somebody into my house and they tell me I need to leave more, you're getting my foot straight in your ass out the door.
Well, not only is she the only one working, but she works DoorDash. She works like 2 jobs. And she cooks for them, and she cleans up after them, and then you're gonna be like, you know, you could be gone more, so I don't have to deal with you. And I think the first thing that came to my mind was, if I would have said that to my mom growing up, there would be no me. There would just be a tombstone that said he talked crazy to his mom, and then I would just be underneath the ground. I wouldn't exist anymore. That's all it would be. You would look me up, and they'd be like, oh, yeah, he's dead. He talked crazy to his mom. So it's over for him. So that was the first thing I thought. I was like, if I would have said that to my mom, because my mom actually worked 2 jobs growing up, if I would have been like, you know, it'd be nice if you weren't here. And then I would have ceased to exist. I would no longer be alive.
100%.
So hold on. I want to look at my notes before we go on with this. Greg and... Okay. Yeah, that was it. Okay, so we're going to talk monster trucks with Maddie and Stevie's dad. So I don't know if you feel the same way about this, but it was another episode of him saying how much he doesn't belong here.
Yeah.
And I don't really know. I don't know. I've never lived in another country before, so I can't really say that I understand that. But why do you feel like, because everything that he says, he's like, oh, there's American flags here. There's a national anthem I've never heard, and we don't hear that. Why do you think he's so unreceptive to American culture? Because, you know, I've been overseas. I've been to other countries. I've visited. I wasn't, like, really unreceptive. He's, like, he's rejecting everything about American culture. Why do you think that
is? Well, Iran is so anti-American, it's not even funny. So, like he even said, the only time you would hear like the national anthem or the Star Spangled Banner, anything like that, anytime you're going to hear anything, they block it out because they are so anti-American. That's why he was concerned about coming over here, because he'd never be able to be accepted home again.
So are they one of those countries, because I've read about this before, where they don't let American music get played on the radio and they don't allow Americans to tour in their country? Because I've heard of countries like that where, like, say for instance, Taylor Swift was going on tour. She couldn't go to Iran because certain countries don't even allow American influence. So she wouldn't be able to perform in their country because it's like that. I mean, I get that. So it's very different being here. But also, why would you want to come here? Because
I'm truly in love with somebody, but America.
I don't love nobody that much. I don't know nobody that much.
America's 10,000 times better than Iran. So, yeah, he wanted to be here.
Do you think that him acting like America is such a issue for him is part of the storyline? Or do you think he really does feel that way?
I think it's part of the storyline, but I do think there's underlying concerns about being here.
I mean, they're boring to me. Like,
I don't know.
Their storyline.
Their story's kind of boring, but I love Stevie. Like, I don't know why. I love her.
She's a typical Southern American. What do you call them? What do you call a Southern American? I can't remember now. When I was down south, what you would call, like, a really nice kind American woman. I can't remember now. There's a term for it. But yeah, she's basically the typical Southern hospitality, nice lady, right?
But she,
I like her a lot.
Backwoods, redneck, hillbilly, because the shit she does is all the shit we do here. So I get it. Like, monster, like, my son grew up. I never, ever didn't take him to a monster truck show, ever.
Wait, for real? I've been to one.
I've been to hundreds. My son is a married man with a child of his own and has a toy room, and it is filled with monster trucks and collectibles.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Southern Belle, thank you. I couldn't think of it.
For some reason.
I couldn't think of it. That's what she reminds me of, just a Southern Belle. Just a really nice, kind, hospitable, decent human being, right? That's what she reminds me of.
Her dad reminds me of my dad. Like, screw around, I'll shoot you in the ass, and that's a wrap.
Well, yeah, and a lot of times, I've noticed this a lot. There'll be someone who was raised in, like, a really racist household, and they'll be the least racist person in the world. I had a lot of friends like that growing up in Louisiana. They were, like, their parents or grandparents were super, super racist. So if I would go over to their house or if I would go around them, they would all look at me weird. But, like, Stevie, for instance, she's not racist at all.
Right.
Because someone in the comments was like, oh, her dad's racist. I was like, yeah, he kind of is. I don't know if he's racist or he's just, like, a stereotypical person who you see one person and you assume all of the people that look that way are the same way. It doesn't necessarily make you racist. It just kind of makes you ignorant, I guess, or closed-minded. Or
cautious.
Well, do you think him assuming that he's Iranian, that he's a bad person, is being cautious or being racist? Or is it both?
I don't think he's racist per se. I think that he's probably very anti-Iran.
Is that different? So those are two different things.
Yes. So there's those people, and it has nothing to do with the color of their skin. But everything is what they stand for and believe in. Like, I don't like this person because they're so polar opposite of me. It doesn't matter what they look like, kind of thing. I think that that's where he's at. I don't think he's racist. I just think he's concerned.
I mean, he's got a right to be concerned. When I heard about the things that they do in Iran and the way that they regard America, mm-hmm. It's concerning,
absolutely.
You know, but I like to be open-minded to think just because someone is from a certain place, they're not like that place.
Right.
Like I can't describe you and then the whole state that you live in because it's not the same thing.
Right.
You can have beliefs and opinions of your own that have nothing to do with the state you live in,
absolutely.
Or the country that you live in. So I like to believe that you know you could come. Doesn't matter where you come from. There's good people everywhere. And
absolutely.
But there's also bad people everywhere.
Absolutely.
So when you say he's being cautious, that's probably true. Because when you talk about that country and you look up the things that have gone on, there's not very many countries that they don't dislike. And they've caused a lot of problems with a lot of people. So him being cautious, like, well, this is my daughter. She's going to move this person into her house. I want to make sure that there's no intention that we don't know about beforehand. I get that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Shelly says he's harmless, but I think Adnan is terrifying. Do you agree with that?
I agree.
So do you think Mahdi, he's not an aggressive person. Because when I think of a person who might be capable of doing something horrible, Mahdi is a very sensitive, I've never seen him raise his voice. He's the softest spoken person, and he kind of looks scared all the time.
Yeah.
So I don't see him as aggressive or somebody that would do something to hurt anyone. I just don't see that in his personality. But a lot of people say Adnan was aggressive from the very start. So that they have more reservations about Adnan than they do about him.
I do too.
Macho is stoic. What does that mean? What does stoic mean?
Just very even keeled, like no facial expression, no emotion,
Mahdi is stoic. He's definitely. You know how they're like, you never hear someone raise their voice? I feel like that's how Mahdi is.
Yeah.
No matter if he's angry, happy, sad, pissed off, depressed, he's always going to have an even temper. And yeah. I wish I had that. I wish that I could control my temper that way. But when I'm mad, you'll usually know. Yeah. You know, I don't have that self-control. Some people are able to speak calmly, even when things are not calm. I'm not able to do that.
That is not one of my traits.
It's not. When I'm mad, everybody knows I'm mad. And when I'm happy, everybody knows I'm happy. I don't have that control because I'm jealous of the people who can do that.
When I'm mad, everybody knows I'm mad. And when I'm happy, I just keep to myself so nobody knows I'm happy.
All right. So Sean and Aaliyah were on tonight. And hold on. I want to look at my notes because there's something that she said I want to talk about. But I also don't remember what it was. So did you have any notes on them? Because I'm trying to find it.
So many. The fact that about the house being big, but it's old. The fact that she wants boobs already, but hasn't told Sean. Like, there's so much stuff. It took them 4 to 5 days to have sex. Their sex life is working.
Yeah, that was a very concerning statement. Yeah. Like, she's like, oh, it's working. That's like saying, how's your car? The check engine light's on. It's working. It's not working, okay, though.
I lost the whole transmission. Right. I turned around the corner.
Just because it's working, the engine is eventually going to blow up. Yeah. You know, that like it's you can't just say, oh, it's working or it's tolerable or it's okay for now. That's a weird way to describe a relationship.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like it has an expiration date. It's like, well, I can deal with how things are going right now. That means that you're saying that you're not going to always deal with them, but you can deal with it right now.
Yeah. He's so uninterested in her now. He's just not attracted to her at all.
The one friend asked it. She was like, when you're dressed up fully as Aaliyah, do you think he's less attracted to you? And she was like, I don't know. And I was like, but you do know.
Yeah.
He's made it pretty clear to you that you, as a woman, he loves you as a person regardless, but you as a woman is not who he wants to be in a relationship with. Like that's been said.
She came walking out in lingerie and he's like, look, she actually had to say, how do I look? If I went walking in front of my husband and had to ask him how I look, I would be pissed when he goes, pretty.
Well, it's probably killing him to give her a compliment because he's not into that. Oh, that's a good question, Prenny. Do we get a new episode next week and it's Easter Sunday? I don't know the answer to that. I'm going to say probably not. I'll have to check my DVR and see if it's recording. I didn't realize, so a week from today is Easter? I didn't realize that. I don't even have a ham in the freezer. What are we going to eat? Like, I didn't know.
I don't even know if I'm going to be here. I'm trying to take a trip.
Oh, you deserve a trip, by the way.
It's going to be a quick weekend trip next weekend if I can pull it off, but I don't know. I also have to be here for my granddaughter's first Easter, so.
Oh, yeah, so you'd have to, well, as long as you're back by Sunday night just to have dinner. Easter egg hunts. They're big for kids, so you gotta be home for that. But yeah, I think that this marriage, well, again, they started off showing us the wedding and then we went 3 months earlier, so I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I know that they're still together because I followed them on Instagram.
Yeah.
So I know that in order for her to still be here, they had to have gotten married because Sean said tonight they worked on other avenues for visas. They worked on a student visa. They worked on a work visa. Nothing else worked. So the only option that they had was the K-1 because he's made it pretty clear he would not marry her unless he had to. And for
I think
me,
he probably married her. I think she probably lives either with him or in the vicinity of him. And I think that they just have an open marriage.
Do you think that he's marrying her to do her like a favor? Like, do you feel like he promised a better life for her? And I think when he made that promise, he meant that they were going to be together. Yeah. But I think now that she's transitioned to Aaliyah, he was like, well, I'm still going to do what I said, but I can't be with a woman. But I think he's like following through with what he promised when it was Douglas. Yeah. I think he was like, I'm going to bring you here and you're going to live here. I'm going to give you a better life and we're going to spend our lives together. And then when Douglas transitioned, he was like, well, we can't be together, but I'm still going to do this for you. And I feel like Sean is like coming through with what he promised, but him not telling his family is also making me think that it's just a favor. Because I was like, your kids need to know that you're going to get married. Yeah. They just have to know. And I don't care what your relationship is like. They still need to know if you're marrying someone.
I think because he doesn't want to be with anybody. I think he wants to be with everybody. And I think that he got married to fulfill a promise. And that's that.
Well, I think you're right. The way that he had this open relationship with Leah for all these years, well, Leah slash Douglas is yeah. and Leah, shows that he's not ready to settle down.
If but you're not ready to settle down. Open relationship when he was when she was Douglas.
So wait, the open relationship started when she transitioned. Because I thought he said they were always in an open relationship because of the distance.
He did say that. He said, but when he said it, he was like, when Douglas and I were together, we had this wonderful, beautiful relationship. I loved him very much. And then Aaliyah and I were, you know, separate for so long. It was a long distance relationship. So I had, you know, we agreed to an open marriage or an open relationship. And but she stayed faithful to him, supposedly, and he did not. So I don't know. It's a weird situation to me.
Do you believe that? Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like they aren't really attracted to each other. I think she's attracted to the lifestyle that he can provide.
I agree.
And I think he's just along for the ride. Like, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like he's just doing what he said he would do. He doesn't even want to do it anymore, but I think he would feel bad if he didn't, because he promised her that he was going to do it. And I feel like he's just along for the ride. Like, he's on he's in a car that has no driver. Yes. Right, it's going, but no one's driving, and he's just in the car, and it's just going. I feel like he doesn't want to be a part of it anymore, but he doesn't know how to get himself out of it. He's in too deep.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
I think that it's basically fraud, though, because I feel like he's bringing her over here. It's not a real marriage. It's not a real relationship, and he's gonna get her a green card. It's kind of committing fraud, right? Yeah. Like, I feel like that's because it's not real.
Well, he straightforward said, in a perfect world, we could put off the wedding and just be together.
Well, right. And that's what he tried. He tried the student visa. Mm-hmm. He tried the work visa. Every avenue, the fact that everything that he tried was to not marry her shows me that he doesn't want to marry her, because he keeps saying, he's like, well, this is the only way.
Yeah.
If I could do any other option, I would, but this is the only way. Any ideas on what blows up at the wedding? I'm assuming it has to do with his kids. But I don't know. I have no idea. I don't have, like, actual information, photomom, of what happened. But I think the kids are probably going to make a scene.
Yeah.
Or they're going to tell them, like, we're not going. And then they're going to show up and cause problems.
Yeah.
That's just my thought. If it was my parents, I would do that.
Yeah.
Like, if they were doing something that I didn't agree with, I would be like, oh, I'm not even going. I don't even care.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to show up and I'm going to cause a scene.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I would do, because I feel like you should have told me. If my mom didn't tell me that she was going to get married, I would want to know if she was even dating somebody. I feel like it's my right to know. So if you're engaged and don't tell me, or if you have a wedding date set and don't tell me, that I feel like that's not fair. If I was to do that, my mom would beat me.
Absolutely.
Right? So why? I feel like our relationship should be equal. If I was doing something major in my life and didn't tell her, she would never let that slide. So I want the same respect.
Yeah.
And for me, his kids are going to be pissed, because I would be pissed.
It was just like Sean and Joanne. They were married for 2 years and didn't say shit to anybody. Like, I just don't get how people can do that.
Well, they didn't even tell their kids.
Yeah.
And these were like babies. And I thought that was wild. And now they're still here. I mean, he's still here, and he brought his daughter here, and they're filming for another show, and things seem to be going well.
Yeah.
But I don't know what's going on with her oldest son, because I don't know where he is on social media or whatever. But I know he was the one that seemed the most bothered by it.
Yeah. And he's an adult.
Yeah, adults understand the era in people's ways more than children. Because children don't understand when somebody makes a bad decision as much as an adult. When you're grown and you see somebody make a bad judgment, you judge them a little more.
But I would be more offended as an 18-year-old if my mom had gone off and done something and was married for a couple years to somebody in another country without telling me, than I would have been had she done it when I was like 10 or 12. I mean, I'd have been been pissed that she left the country without me, but
because
I get a new little sister, you know.
Well, right. When you're a kid, you don't look at the severity of the situation as you would as an adult.
Yeah.
You don't look at the repercussions. Because children don't, they don't understand all of the consequences of actions.
Absolutely.
Adults do.
Yeah.
Because I look at it like, if I did it, you'd have a problem. Like if Joanne's son would have gotten engaged or got a girl pregnant or went and got married behind her back, she would have been pissed off.
Absolutely.
Period. She's an Italian mom. First of all, she would have been pissed. So the idea that she thinks that she can do that and it's not a big deal, it's you're just being a big hypocrite. That's just being a, because if her son would have did that, she would have never, it would have been all hell that would have broke loose.
Absolutely.
So the throuple was on tonight. I don't know if you want to talk about it, but we watched the aftermath of their little fight. Hold on. I have some notes in here somewhere. And basically, Annie was basically saying, I'll tell everyone about you if that's what you want, but give me time. Basically, nothing happened, okay? Yeah. Basically, nothing happened. And we're just kind of watching this storyline play out. It's very basic. It's a very basic storyline. It's thruple. They don't get along. Now they do get along. And then they actually had a preview for later where, let me blow your mind, where Amani was like, because, you know, she had a huge issue just with the three of them. And then this crazy woman is like, can we add a fourth?
Yeah.
And I was like, you damn near stabbed this woman for sleeping with Matt, and now you're going to add a fourth? You couldn't stand the idea that they could do anything without you, and now you want to bring another person to be jealous of into this shit show relationship. I was like, now you're just messing with us. Now you're literally just saying stupid stuff. Because at this point, it's already ridiculous. But the idea that y'all were there for 24 hours and already wanted to hurt each other, and now you think that bringing another person into this situation is going to make it better. Now y'all just annoy me.
And then he's going to get breakfast, and you say, can I go with you? So you guys go and have a sit-down breakfast and just bail on her?
Well, yeah, they didn't invite her. They didn't tell her where they were going. It was very rude.
Yeah.
Because when she got back, when they got back, she was like, did you even bring me anything back? Like, you just left, you know? And they're like, oh, yeah, we brought you food. And it's like, if y'all are a thruple, y'all need to talk to each other. And the way that Matt and Amani had that little sidebar conversation shows me that that's not a real thruple. Because if all three of you are in a relationship, all three of you will have conversations together. Yeah. That's how it works. No relationship is going to work if you're having sidebar conversations and leaving people out. That means that they're not really a part of this. Because if you can have a serious, life-changing conversation without the third person, then there's no third person.
Yeah. This is just a little fantasy. It's not even really who she is. She's using her stripper name.
Right. It's Brenda. It's Brenda, right? I think they said that her name is Brenda. And, even more interesting, they were sending her money, obviously. But they were sending her money through some guy.
That's weird.
Which is really weird. And then they meet with the guy, and then the guy gives the real name. So do you think that this is like a scamming situation where, remember when Ty Ray was on the show and he was getting scammed by a girl or a guy actually, and he was sending a bunch of money? Do you think that this is some sort of scam where she's real, but like she goes out with people and then asks them for money, and then the guy is kind of in charge of the operation?
I wouldn't doubt it at all.
This whole thing is really confusing. That was a turn that I didn't expect in the thruple story. I didn't think that she...
The ex-boyfriend?
Well, I think that they said, or Annie said this was her ex-boyfriend, but I don't think that this guy... Because when they asked who are we sending the money to, she said, this is my ex-boyfriend. But I think that he's something else.
Yeah.
Like maybe a pimp... Or maybe the ringleader of a skip. Like, there might be a lot of different girls. Like, say, for instance, at the strip club that she works, all of these girls are running this little scam.
Right.
And then he's the mastermind, you know, that kind of like the scam pimp. Like, he's the one making sure everybody gets paid, everybody is getting the money that they deserve, and he's divvying things up. Like, I don't think that that's actually her ex-boyfriend. I think that there's something else going on.
Yeah.
Wait,
I do too.
Shelly's Shelly said, I think Annie is transsexual, transgender. That's been coming up a lot, actually. A lot of people have been saying that. And I feel like if she was, the show would have said it. The show is very big on promoting the LGBTQ community now. So I feel like if she was, I feel like they wouldn't hide it. Because we've had numerous trans cast members.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so no, there's absolutely no reason to hide that. Because since Kenny and Armando were our first LGBTQ community couple on the show, we've, every season, we've had representation from LGBTQ community. So I, if she was, there, they would have made sure that we were fully aware.
I think so, too. I don't know.
Yeah.
It seems very fishy, but...
Yeah, it's fishy, but I don't think it's that. I don't think it's that. She did have a deeper voice, and she's really tall, and people were making those assumptions, but again...
Like Larissa. I mean, I can't unsee Larissa when I hear her talk.
Oh, I'm going to have to listen to Larissa and then play the show and see if I hear it. I didn't notice that. I haven't, Larissa's had me blocked for years, by the way. Like, so I need to go watch some of the old episodes and see what she's
saying. She had
like
me blocked so I can for see. A long time, but I think she like took me off probation or something because I'm not blocked anymore.
Oh, did she? Oh, she gave you a second shot.
Apparently.
She never gave me a second shot. It was just a one and go block. And this was so many years ago, like maybe 5 or 6. It was a really long time ago. And I didn't even, she posted something and this was in my more savage years. She posted something along the lines of, oh, I'm going to buy a purse or I'm going to do something. And I was like, oh, well, what about your kids?
See, that's
all I said. Yeah, and that's all I said. And it was
something to the effect of, if you didn't have to keep spending so much bail money, you could actually get your kids over here.
Well, yeah, I was a little more savage back then. I was unhinged.
Are you supposed to be getting less savage as we get older?
I'm a little less savage, actually. I used to be much more unhinged. So how I know I was more unhinged, I used to get on Twitter jail all the time. Like, at least every week I was in Twitter jail for at least 12 hours. And I can't remember the last time I've been in Twitter jail. It's been years. So I know my savage clapbacks are a little more acceptable. Either that or Twitter is more lenient on rules. I don't know which one it is. I used to get in trouble because I used to comment and I would get... Actually, I used to get reported. My comments on Instagram would get reported and they would get taken down. Because I was just savage. And I would just say... I would say the first thing that came into my head... But I don't do that anymore. Like now I'll say something and then I'll think about it and then I'll think and before I type. I used to type it as it came into my head and send it, and that's why
I got my degree in criminology, and the very first thing my instructor ever taught us, very, very first thing she ever taught us, is if it's bad, don't put it in writing. So I'm very careful about how I type things.
That is the best.
But if we're face to face, the shit that will come out of my mouth, I can't stop.
Yeah, it's hearsay face to face because unless it's being recorded, that's just hearsay. You can't. And I would put comments out there, and then people would screenshot it and be like, "Oh, you're mean" or whatever. And so I was like, "You're right. You can't put it in writing because once it's out there on the internet, people will see it. And even if you even have changed your opinion on something, that still is there. Even though that's how you felt 3 years ago or 5 years ago, it still exists and it still looks like your opinion. So yeah, that's kind of why I'm a little less savage on the internet. Did I tell you, back in the day, I had a Twitter account, had like 30,000 followers, and I got banned. They banned the account. Because I don't remember what I said. It was something about 90 Day Fiancé. I think it might have had to do with Darcy, actually. Oh. And I tweeted something out, and she reported it, and my account got banned. And I had to appeal, and after a year and a half, I got that account back. But I'd already started a new account. I don't use it, but I have the account back. It still has like 30,000 followers, but I don't use it. But that's how savage I was, and I had to learn... Stop saying the first thing that pops in your head. Stop doing that.
I mean, don't stop saying the first thing that pops into your head. Just be careful how you write it. Send it to me for proof approval.
Yeah, I'll have to send it to you for proofreading because I've I don't remember what I said about her, but she really didn't like it. It's funny because Darcy and
I were about how I type things out. I very much think through what I'm putting in writing.
I didn't always. And it's funny because Darcy and I are totally fine. Like
I
said,
if we're talking face-to-face, I have no control over what's going to come out of my mouth. If I'm thinking about what I'm writing,
Would not Darcy give me less lessons? Yeah. Darcy and I didn't always get along. We're very good friends now. But, like, yeah, we didn't always get along. In the beginning,
happening with them right now. They just
did you see the music video?
I saw that, but then I just saw Stacey's new post about her most recent surgery.
Oh yeah, I saw that too. They're
I can't.
The music video is what caught me off guard because now they're rapping. I know. And it caught me off guard. I wasn't ready. You know how you think you're ready and then I watched it twice and I was like, is this real? Because I was like, is today April 1st? Like, is this real? This isn't real, right?
Yeah, that was horrible. But also Stacey's most recent video, did you see at the end where she goes, thanks, she winks and then goes, she tries to do that, but she can't all the way wink because her face is frozen and she can't actually pucker. She's all, thanks.
Yeah, I saw it. A lot of people are really shocked at how Darcy looked at the tell-all.
Yeah.
Because she looks way different than the last time we saw her. And Stacey, too, you know, to be really honest, they're starting to look so less like themselves. It's almost like they're turning into new people.
It's awful.
It is. I'm really worried about them. Oh, also, I found out recently, there's not three parts to the tell-all, there's five.
I know, I saw that. I just wanted to jump off the cliff.
I'm sorry. I thought it was three because I checked the TV guide and it said episode one, or part one, part two, part three. But then when I checked it again, there's two additional episodes after tomorrow. They're not labeled tell-all, but they're labeled The Last Resort. So I'm pretty sure that means that these are new parts to the tell-all.
I'm just so confused because we've already dealt with Brandon and Julia. We've already dealt with Dumbass and Gino. We've already dealt with Stacey and Florian. We've already dealt with Darcy and Georgie. We've already dealt with Rob and Sophie. We've already dealt with, we're going to deal with Natalie and Josh. But then what?
I think that's tomorrow. Yeah, Natalie and Josh is supposed to be tomorrow. I don't understand why we would need five. I know... people were telling me, because, you know, Matt was at the tell-all. So, like, he was... I don't know if he's on, but he was physically there. So I'm thinking maybe he actually came out. Because I was like, well, maybe they're going to bring him out.
And Natalie and Josh. And then what?
I don't...
Then what?
I don't understand why. What could we
possibly talk about for two more weeks?
I don't know. I liked it better when we did a part one and a part two. And we called it... We were done with that chapter and moved on.
Yeah.
I remember the single life when it was seven parts. You remember that last year? I don't like this trend of these five, six, seven part tell-alls. If you can't fit it in, you know what someone said this the other day, the Real Housewives make it all happen in one night.
Yep.
If you can't make it all happen in one night, leave it out. You know, I totally agree with that. There's no reason why we need to be watching a tell-all for 2 months. It's not necessary. We know what happened. We have social media. We know that Jasmine has already had a baby. They're still talking about her pregnancy. The baby's here, right?
The baby's been here for a couple of months, just like I said last week.
Well, yeah, that's the whole new thing. Everyone is saying that March 19th. Wait, what day did they say? March 19th?
Something like that. There's
is
no
the
way.
Date she actually gave birth, not April 9th. Yeah, that's what people are saying. And now people are saying it's probably earlier than that.
Exactly what I said. I said January or February.
Yeah, people are saying that she gave birth sometime in January. Well, I know the tell-all was filmed in January, and then she did look really, really pregnant in January. So maybe she gave birth shortly after she got back.
I think she already had tell-all.
So you think she was wearing a prosthetic? Some people are saying that was a prosthetic belly at the tell-all. There's a lot of different
theories. She had the very full face from giving birth, but the way she was wailing those shoes at Rob and everything, I'm sorry. I've been that far along in a pregnancy, and I could barely lift my purse on my shoulder. There was no way I was throwing shoes.
Didn't Shibuti post a picture of her holding the baby? There were no pictures of the baby until April 9th.
Yeah.
That was when TLC announced with photos, but that's not when the baby was born. There was a photographer that took the birthing photos that went on her Instagram and posted, oh my gosh, 3 weeks ago I got a call, she was in labor. And from that post, that would have equaled March 19th.
Yeah.
So, and then she immediately removed that post. Like, it was up for about 30 minutes, and then the post was gone. So she, based on the photographer, she made it seem like Jasmine gave birth on March 19th. But a lot of people are saying that's still not accurate because the baby is too developed in the photos. So I don't know if we're ever going to know because birth certificates aren't public record. So, like, no, I don't know if we're ever going to know.
She's not, you can say she's smart if you want, but she's not smart enough to keep it under wraps. She's going to end up screwing up and posting a birthday picture or something. And it probably won't be until it's like the kid's two or three, because she's going to be like, okay, it's been long enough. People probably forgot the day I said I had the baby. So happy real birthday to whatever your weird kid's name is.
That's a good point, Matilda.
Oh yeah.
Wait, is her name Matilda?
I don't know.
I think that's a good point though, because say for instance, 4 years from now, because if you're lying about the date you gave birth, say for instance, you are on social media and you post a picture of your baby blowing out their candles. Are you going to always remember to fake their birthday? Is there something always to remember? Are you going to accidentally post their birthday on their birthday? Well, yeah, because if I was lying about my birthday, it would be hard for me to always remember to stick with that lie. Because it's a once a year lie. Because if I'm out having a party or am I having cake and it's my birthday, I would accidentally probably post on my birthday because that's what normal people do.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're right. In a year or two for a birthday party or for something, she's going to post something alluding to the right date.
Yeah.
Because like you said,
she's going to think that we all just forgot because hopefully she falls off our TV forever. But she'll post something. It'll come out.
Yeah, it'll eventually come out. And again, I don't know why it was so important for her not to give us a date. They wouldn't let her. She wouldn't give us a date on the tell-all. So there's something linked to the date of this baby's birth. It could be
he's
another.
He's a cheating whore.
Well, other than that, I think it might correspond with the show that she's filmed.
Yeah.
Because I was like, they might be protecting future footage. And if she gives too much away, then, because, you know, she's been filming for quite a while now. I think since August, she was filming in March, she was filming in August, she was filming in November, she was filming in January. So there might be something that they're trying to protect, and she's not on diaries. So there's something going on, and I was like, maybe the date of the birth would give away whatever they have filmed that we haven't seen yet, and they're just being cautious, you know, so they don't have to scrap any footage. You never know, right? You never know with these people. Everything is a lie, but this is a first. Faking a birth date. Because, you know, when 90 Day Fiancé babies are born, the official accounts announce it for real, like on the actual day with actual pictures and everything. This is the first time that I think they blatantly lied and told us that a baby was born after, weeks and weeks after. Like, why are y'all lying to us all of a sudden? What's so weird about this baby that y'all have started lying about the birth of babies now?
Yeah. There's something fishy going on. We'll find out, though.
Yeah, we'll figure it out, though. Like you said, it's only a matter of time before somebody slips up and we figure out when this baby was actually born. If it was a 2024 baby, 2025 baby, we're going to find out.
Yep.
All right, so we're going to come back tomorrow for part 3 of 5. Of the tell-all for the last resort. I'm sorry. I really did. When I checked the TV
guide, it's not your fault. It probably was 3 episodes.
Yeah.
They were like, you know what? George and Kara are flipping shit about this. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to add 2 more just to be an ass.
They probably did. Because I swear on everything, I checked TV guide right before it premiered. There was only 3 scheduled shows. And then Gina messaged today and was like, hey, there's 5. And I was like, huh? And then I checked they're not labeled. The first three say Tell All Part 1, Tell All Part 2, Tell All Part 3. The other two are just as The Last Resort with no description, but it's coming on at the exact time that the Tell All's come on. So again, maybe it's some sort of weird between the sheet special, fingers crossed, right? Oh. It doesn't say Tell All. So, but I think it's probably a Tell All.
Yeah. All I know is,
but we'll be back to talk about it.
Of this bullshit.
And there's nothing to discuss that we don't already know. But literally. All right, so make sure you're following Kara. I'm going to tag her in this video. Make sure you're following me on all social media platforms at George Massey, georgemassey.com. Anywhere you get your podcast, type in The George Massey Show. Everybody have a wonderful week. Don't get sick tomorrow. Like me, right? Feel don't better. Get sick like me. Thanks, guys. Everybody have a good night. Okay, bye.
Bye.